Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Super Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and man, I'm really glad I'm not George Gutierrez right now. You are such a disappointment. And with me, I have...
Remember that pride always comes before the fall. Their fall.
And...
This is about God of War Rafi. One, that looks kind of sick. And two, people are going to push up that red, blue, lizard creature. Look, I know that people say, oh, it looks adorable. I want it. That's a plushie. They would.
Let's not forget the cube. As we all know, the cosmic cube can do anything. Can it be gelatinous? Yes!
Does he sound like Jack Quaid? I don't know. Or does he? I don't know. I think it might be, I don't know, our sources, but...
The point is, if you don't think Lafay looks like the coolest shit, then I can't trust you. I will say, I'm kind of surprised by just how much God of War stuff we're kind of getting lately. Like, considering how there were big gaps between, like, the end of the original trilogy and these newer games, now we have, like, we had that 2D game a few months back. We have the remake trilogy thing happening, and now Lafay must have been letting this cook in the oven for a while.
I will say it looks good. Just maybe not show this uninterrupted for 23 minutes good.
I did not actually get a chance to watch it. I was, I don't know, I kind of missed the first 20 minutes of the whole thing, and I was like... I don't know, maybe I'll rewatch it later. Though I will say, holy shit, they remembered Stuntman exists!
Right?
Seriously, I will go to the mat for the fact that Stuntman Ignition is one of the PS3's best games. Period. Pure, unadulterated fun. Also, Jesus Christ, Until Dawn's really 10 years old. Holy shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's right. Not making a sequel, it's like... Oh, yeah, which, I mean, the game came out 6 years ago, which now I remember because I remember a lot of playthroughs or gameplay videos of it way back then.
And then Fret not, the five remaining Until Dawn fans are salivating for more.
One of them is my roommate. Anyway, here we are, episode 434 of this podcast. How's everyone's week been going?
Oh, the weeks all just blend together. I'm just going to do the usual same old shit, yada, yada, yada. I will mention a couple things going on. I've been waiting for hockey and basketball season and postseason stuff to end so I can get on to watching other things. I'm stuck for at least two more weeks. I gotta watch the Carolina Hurricanes play in the Stanley Cup final. Please win the cup. It's been 20 years. Please win it. Also, let me just grab this over here. It's gonna be hard to actually describe just sound, but what I have in my hand is a 2009 13-inch MacBook Pro that I have been trying to do something with. I got it at a used store for $70 about a year and a half ago. I wanted to install Linux on this thing just to try it out, see how well it runs on a 16-year-old laptop. I didn't get very far with it. So after I had put in new memory and a new SSD, which I bought before the world went absolutely insane, otherwise it would have cost me like $2,000 for 8 gigs of DDR3 memory and a 500 gig SSD, because the world is terrible. I just did a full Dankpots thing with this, and I installed a clean install of macOS 10.11, I think? Yeah, 10.11 El Capitan. And I'm just using this as an iPod syncing machine, because why the hell not? I bought this, I need to do it for, you know, something. Yeah, that's how I spend my time, because the world itself is still very much terrible in many, 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 many ways. At least it's not raining anymore for, like, 5 days,
hopefully, maybe, more. I don't know. I have not seen the sun in a week and a half. It's been terrible over here.
Good lord. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, supposed to mention the weather. Well, the weather here, well, I don't see it right here. Yeah, the weather around here especially sucks. It's either sunny one minute and the next minute rain and thunder, rain a lot. The weather is going crazy now. It's going crazy for the last couple of weeks. And why I'm bringing this up because originally we was called this yesterday. Unfortunately, there was a storm around my area and knocked out power on my home.
Yeesh.
Yeah. It took almost eight hours to get it back on. Like it was back on, and a good with me when it's, you know, the first day of June, and it's hot, and you're trying to wait till they get back on. You're trying to sleep, knowing that your phone needs to be charged, but it's not, and all that shit. Thankfully, came back on around midnight or 11:30, which. Okay, fine. I mean, okay, fine. I'll take it. As soon as my light turns back on and the fan turns back on, like, oh good.
Yeah, that usually how it tends to be with power outages. It's almost always like after midnight for some reason.
Yeah. Well, not much has been going on this. Stuff for working shit, and I don't know, it's on the end, and I'm gonna say one random thing. Remember that show The Weekenders? They're on Disney Plus now. After people be begging for it to be on streaming services, and I was like, oh, okay, I remember that show. You used to watch on Toon Disney. You used to watch on Toon Disney all the time. Which, okay. Yeah, but that happened.
Always good when they remember their,
Where's House stuff. Of Mouse, you fucking cowards?
Shit.
It's been 6.5 years. We're still waiting.
You better get on that, you friggin' mouse.
Are they ever gonna put some shit? Are they ever gonna do this shit? Or is this because I'm, like... Is there, like, some right shit going on? Or is this, I don't know, them being... Lazy.
Yes.
Okay, then.
It's always something. Anyway, as for me, well, I think I might have mentioned this already, but last week I had to send my gaming laptop out for repairs, which thankfully the damage doesn't seem that bad. Keep in mind, they were estimating like 2 to 4 weeks turnaround, and a cost of like $300 to $400. But so far, all told, the expenses are like $150. Yes, I'm taking that as a victory, because, God, I don't want that thing to die. I need that for stuff and things. You think this computer that I'm using to, like, record this podcast can play video games? Nuh-uh, this is an everything but the gaming machine. Aside from that, just, you know... Watching plenty of things, saw this movie called Buffet Infinity a while back, which is basically the best Adult Swim infomercial that Adult Swim never made. Oh, I would like to submit to the council, I believe we have a brand new, crazy-ass moment in nu metal history, because, my social media feeds have informed me that this past weekend, Alien Ant Farm performed at an anime convention, specifically Anime Riverside in, well, Riverside, California. And Mr. Drayden Mitchell was cosplaying Taro Sakamoto. Yes, as in the days of Sakamoto.
Ah, okay, nice.
And, yes, we will in fact do the joke because, unsurprisingly, their set list included, and just like the movies.
I would have done it too, but I'm recovering from a nasty illness, so I'm not going to do it this time.
Breaking news! Movies gets another new music video that's just Drayden Mitchell and all kinds of anime cosplay.
Ugh.
Yeah, also just kind of watching animes here and there. Dorohedoro Season 2? Slaps. Rooster Fighter Season 1? Pretty fun. I caught up with Liar Game, and Jesus Christ, was no one gonna tell me about that villain reveal? What a tone-deaf thing in 2026. Though maybe I'm missing out on discourse or something, so maybe I'm jumping the gun, who knows. Just, God, that kind of soured me on the show. But that is neither here nor there. What is here is, now that we're done with the formalities, moving on to the usual business, which of course starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up new tunes for your playlist, all of that fun jazz. Let's throw it over to Mark to get things started, because our first track here is from Rome Streets.
Ah, yes. It's just missing jazz. Jazz. Somebody says, Rome Streets. Rome Streets. Another one of the rappers you know, basically associated with Griselda. Got a new singer out, and the track is, it's titled Cocaine Coltrane. Yes. And we wasn't because this got this very jazzy instrumental, and it's like, okay, that does look the same, because like, it's very jazzy, it's very gritty, considering the topic is basically, him doing this regular support about how he's one of the capable MCs out there, and of course, there's some coke bars as well. Cooking audio, this hip hop of fiends. You got the same, guy playing like Robert Greene. Niggas won't find the book list. They won't watch the screen so large. They cook at the Rocket team, running through like Barry Sanders. If it's me, there's some niggas that really all ass like colon cancer. I shall do gold on the coke. Got a dopest stanza. Got no loss in the wisdom. How they understand this? I stand this. They're done by 85. I'm the guy who dies when I ride a cyanide. And got some lines like, was it a dope bagger, turn rapper, still toe tag it like a dope matter on the track, like a coked up Marshall Mathers. Wasn't bum niggas like this called the Raptors, shout out the backboard with spinning your face after, big chin on my neck, but I'm the master. But that's you out, shit like the swim pastor, bum niggas think be neck and neck by boo past you. Which, okay, I mean, okay, because of good bars here, that's pretty fire too. That's pretty fire too. It's like, okay, you got some mix for jazz and all that shit, it's a very, cable track, is standard good track. And look at the producer is okay. Another good sort of regular, Dana Flair, who produced this. Which, that makes sense. Like I know it's Dutch and man do stuff. From West Side Gun, but yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
They have very good taste in sleazy sax lines.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm moving on to the next track here. So the contemporary thrash metal act Havoc just signed to the label Black to Black, at least I assume that's how it's pronounced, and they've just dropped their first new single in 6 years after the release of their last album, V. Get it? Because it was their fifth album? It's funny. Anyway, so this new single here is called Fifth Generation Warfare, and it is one of the Havoc songs of all time. Like, it has a pretty steady driving, kind of DB tempo in the verses. Of course, it kind of bounces back and forth guitar-wise between, 16th note tremolo chords and this kind of triplet harmony melody from the guitars and such in the verses. You get some decent soloing, a nice chord-driven bridge, some halftime beats mixed in there. It's very workman-like. The performances are okay, the production's okay. It's not anything that's, reaching for the stars. Even lyrically, it's kind of, typical, the media is attempting to control your thoughts through modern technology and the spread of information and disinformation, which, I mean, yeah, tell me something I don't already know. So, once again, it is alright. It's one of the thrash songs of all time.
Okay, to quote Jesse Ventura, you're being psychologically manipulated. Yeah.
I should have seen that one coming.
Yeah, and two, remember what I said last week about 80s thrash? Well, it applies to 80s influenced thrash as well. And if you like it, you'll like it. If you don't, Well, this is just kind of to me. It's nothing I haven't heard before, and honestly, I've kind of heard it done better elsewhere. Again, yeah. It's the, you're being psychologically manipulated. The government's lying to you. Thanks, Jesse. You want to tell me some other conspiracies while you're at it?
Maybe he actually knows what Mole Man's penis looks like.
I don't think anyone needs to know what that looks like.
No!
Well, apparently Alan wanted to.
No. I'd rather just stay home on my own accord and play Burnout Revenge on the PS2. Thank you very much.
You lucky bastard.
I don't sell my old games unless I really need to, which I have not needed to do for a very long time.
Fair enough. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So it's been about 3 years since we last heard new material from The Ocean with their, you know, last studio album, Holocene. And in that time, we've gotten quite the lineup change. We literally have had 4 new members enter the fold, 2 guitarists and 2 vocalists, which, you know, wouldn't be the first time there was massive lineup changes. There is a reason they're sometimes referred to as the Ocean Collective, since outside of, like, their main founding guitarist, everyone else has been, like, shuffling in and out like cards. But the important thing is that The Ocean has announced a new album for September 25th titled Solaris. And we have the lead-off single here, Light Pollution. And it is, of course, a beefy lad at about nearly 10 minutes. So as you can expect, it's going to spend a lot of time, you know, going through various ebbs and flows, you know, building, swelling up, swelling down, all kinds of dynamics. I mean, it opens up with, like, this kind of floating synth melody that soon enough begins to build further with layers of thumping tom hits, glockenspiel melodies, faint guitars in the background, and then the fuller band starts to kick in as, you know, more of the intricacies start working their way through, especially as the drums have, like, these intricate cymbal patterns, the sudden rolling bursts of kicks and fills on the snares toms. All, you know, kind of creating this very cinematic vastness. And what definitely helps in that regard with this track is that one of the new additions to the lineup is a vocalist named Lane Shi, who is a Chinese-born film composer and experimental singer who mainly gets around in the American experimental underground. I think she's mainly active in Massachusetts from what I was reading. And yeah, her vocals definitely add, like, a very fittingly cinematic flair to this sort of post-metal. I like the track. I'm kind of an easy sucker for The Ocean's particular style, so I'm curious where this new album leads.
Okay, every time we talk about this band, I always feel like I'm missing something. This band has always just been real difficult for me to get into for whatever reason, but I'll give them credit here. Despite the length, this feels a lot more accessible, if that's the right term. It doesn't feel like it's 9 minutes long. It doesn't feel like it's going too outwardly in, you know, scope or an approach. Maybe this will be the one to do it. I don't know. But hey, it was good.
Stranger things have happened. But now moving on to the next track here. So, a couple years ago, vocalist Aaron Bruno, perhaps best known as the frontman of the electropop alt-rock act AWOL Nation, started up an actual proper rock band called The Barbarians of California. Though apparently looking deeper into his musical history, he does have the occasional post-hardcore or even post-grunge band under his belt, so maybe this shouldn't have been a total shocker. I did enjoy that first album decently enough, and looks like we have album number 2 coming out August 21st, titled Megatons. So we have the lead-off single here, or I think this is maybe like the 3rd or 4th. Either way, this is the single going along with the album announcement. It's called The Gnarly Core Class, and in the opposite direction of The Ocean, this one's just a short and sweet 2-minute hardcore banger. Like, you know, you have those chugging riffs, just constant, you know, forward momentum and energy. And the drums kind of have, like, that sort of contemporary hardcore feel, like, especially when it kind of gets into the halftime sections, where it's just constantly hammering on, you know, the ride bell and everything. You can practically hear, like, the mosh pits going on and everything. And, of course, the lyrics are just kind of, you know, snarky, fucking around. Not really much else to think about, kind of like the rest of the song. So, I mean, solid enough as a single on its own. But I do have to ask a question, Mr. Aaron Bruno. what exactly is going on with the visuals in the background of this music video? So, for context, it's a very silly video. You know, you have a bunch of grown-ass adults in, like, a grade school classroom. And behind Bruno, there's just, like, a montage of various figures of significance looking like they're banging their heads. You know, you have your Kurt Cobains, your Xi Jinpings, fucking Mr. Beast for some reason. But there's a few points where it looks suspiciously AI-generated, which is definitely killing the vibe. Like, it mainly hit me when it showed, like, Biden, like, former President Biden trying to do it, which I honestly thought a lot of this was just, like, rewinding and fast-forwarding actual footage to look like headbanging, but, dude, seriously? Come on, man. You should... Are you trying to get yourself flamed here? Like, do you really want to be on the crucifixes along there with George Gutierrez and Martin fucking Scorsese, apparently? Man, there's a megaton bomb of discourse I wasn't expecting. Good lord.
And also, apparently, Yokojima, as I heard.
Just say you're taking the money. We'd respect you more if you were being honest with us. Yeah, gonna be honest, I was not paying that much attention to the video, because I like focusing on the music sometimes. Also, the video just wasn't that interesting to me, so, yes. As far as the song goes, well, it's quick, and honestly kind of stupid, parentheses complimentary, so fair play to them for this one here. Just, Don't go down that path of generative garbage, okay? Okay.
Yeah, especially since we've already established that there's no way they're ever getting the kind of financial returns they were expecting. Not even close.
It's a money pit. There is no return on investment. It's not happening. It is not inevitable. It's going to die. And we're all going to be on the other side saying, we fucking called it. Now give us our money back.
Yeah, we're all just going to be in front of the graves like that one photo of Grant Gustin.
Yeah, now give us our money back so we can get cheaper computer parts, Jensen!
This guy is unfucking believable. But let's get the train back on rails, because we do have more songs to go. So, for this next track here, we have new material from D12? Wait, like Eminem's old rap crew, D12?
Apparently so. But
they haven't done shit since like 2000 something, I think. Did I miss something?
Citing the discography, D12 World came out in 2004.
Ah, good lord.
There have been three mixtapes since then. But no singles, so welcome back. Yeah, plus
didn't a couple of them die?
So, anyway, they got a new album coming up, D12 Forever, and I'll get this out of the way, even if it's nowhere near this. Like, you don't
hear him. He left at some point, I think.
Yeah, he bailed years ago.
Yeah. And I got no single featuring a couple of hip-hop legends in some aspect of it. That being Exhibit and Ice-T. Remember them?
Exhibit still raps?
Yes, apparently. And yeah, the new song is called Nightmare Walking. And I'm guessing, judging by the song and the music video, I say they got this horror motif going. I don't know, horror motif going on because it does sound like some stadium rap shit going, which, of course, you got lyrics like, I'm a nightmare walking. I'm a nightmare barking, psychopath talking. These bulls are gonna bite you when these dogs start barking. And that's a personal exhibit. Okay. I was gonna say right now, like, even though it's a D12 song, like, the verses is basically Exhibit to the first verse, then Conniva gets the second verse, Swift gets the third verse, Ice-T is just doing the chorus. Or just part of the chorus. Like, I barely hear him in the song until the end. It's like, okay. You're probably going to say, here, do my thing. There you go. I'm going by. Thank you. Like, the song itself is... the song itself is... It's fine. Like, these dudes are rapping. They do fit the motif of them. They do sound like some crazy motherfucker. And I think the whole thing is fine. I mean, would I want to hear an album of this? I'm not sure. Although after the song ends, they produce some next track, which I want to say that the next few seconds, I think that was Method Man rapping, and he did a fucking bar that had the word tenderism in it, which okay. Kiss me got to mention the release date. Oh yeah, it's June 19th. The album Detour Forever. It's fine. It's okay. I mean, it sounds better than anything Eminem has done for the past couple of years. But
the bar is very low.
But the bar is low.
I don't really have much other opinions. I mean, this pretty much sounds like exactly the sort of gangster rap we could expect from, like, the mid-2000s era, which, God, it really makes it... Like, hearing this, considering, like, what hip-hop's been in the 2010s and 2020s is such a... Man, where did the time go? Also, what do you mean there's a D12 Discord server?
Wait, what?
In the links in the YouTube video, there's a fucking, it says, join the D12 Discord. Who's in that? Like, what's the overlap between people who follow D12 and use Discord?
There's probably at least 5 people out there who really, really, really liked my band and have just been ride or die ever since, even though, again, they have done very little since 2004.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, God.
I mean, they also on outside the group. I mean, they have maybe outside the club, they have done some things. I think one of them was... I think I'm talking the big dude's name. He was in that one rap group, Slaughterhouse, but I forgot it. But I forgot his name.
Maybe it'll come to us at some point. Anyway, moving on from that blast of the past to something else here. So, we have a new single here courtesy of A Perfect Circle. Which, I mean, I guess makes sense. I probably should have figured that Maynard was gonna cycle back around to this before giving us any updates on Tool material. So the new single here is called Starless. And for the most part, it's built around this fairly easy to follow kind of 6-4 tempo. The drums mainly loop this kind of rumbling tom groove mixed in with, you know, snare hi-hat patterns. The guitars and synths kind of soar throughout with a lot of these fairly cinematic melodies, you know, despite how contained everything else is. I don't actively follow Perfect Circle too much, but going between songs like this and whatever was going on with Pucifer, I'm going to go ahead and assume Perfect Circle is kind of an outlet for some of Maynard's more commercial instincts, as it were. I'm using that word kind of loosely, but you know what I mean. And, of course, lyrically, the song kind of vents on the notion of trying to find your way in a world where, you know, people constantly sacrifice any sense of integrity or basic human decency in the name of power and corruption, and trying not to lose your mind when it feels like the entire world is fucked to shit. I totally don't relate to that in the slightest.
Less commercial, more contemporary in a lot of ways. This track sounds like what I and a lot of folks would expect from this band, a la Mirror de Nom's era of Perfect Circle. And it's just got some heavy groove to it. It's a straightforward contemporary rock song, even if it's just Starless with no pipe of black. And for the record, that's a King Crimson reference and nothing else. Yeah, I have no idea if this is going to lead to anything later on, but this was good. I honestly like this a lot more than the last A Perfect Circle album, so take that as you will.
I don't even remember how long ago that album was. It was like
2022, I think. Let me take a look really quick. Google, I swear to God, I'm going to kill you if you keep doing this. Oh my God, Eat the Elephant came out in 2018.
Jesus.
And so it's been much longer since then.
Wait.
The before time.
Wait, 2018. Wait, didn't the last 12 came out 2019?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he likes these long breaks. Well, I guess he likes to do like one project, then the next, and then take a long break or some shit.
Maynard is a very interesting individual. Let's just say that.
He certainly is. Anyway, moving on to the final track here. Wait, what do you mean we're getting new Ariana Grande this year? Wasn't Eternal Sunshine like last year or something? Hang on. Wait, 2 years ago? I thought that was Wicked. Wait, what do you mean Wicked was last year? Can you tell I'm not a reliable source of Ariana Grande chronology? There's so much. It all just kind of like blends together at a certain point.
The only thing I know is that she got that fuckers movie coming out soon.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, fucker and all.
Looking forward for the double toasted review. But yeah, so Miss Grande has announced a brand new album for July 31st titled Petal. And we have the lead-off single here, Hate That I Made You Love Me. Now, production-wise, you know, the beat kind of relies on a very steady, four-on-the-floor, you know, drum pattern. With this kind of aquatic, ascending synth pattern that's looping throughout and kind of the background of the song. It's kind of odd-sounding, personally speaking, but it is what it is. Lyrically, the song, as you can expect from Ariana, kind of has, like, that usual catty tone, as it were, you know, delivering lyrics aimed at kind of criticizing a dude that fell for Ariana, despite the fact that she is very clearly out of his league, and apparently this guy is someone who's very deeply insecure and loves to use that insecurity to drag others down with them, and Ariana wants that very much to be not her problem, to the point where the music video even ends with her burying this dude in a grave. And wait, is that the diner from Childish Gambino's sweatpants video? Or am I overthinking things? Probably overthinking things. But, I mean, as for the song itself, it's, I don't know, I don't have a strong reaction to it. I've never been, like, an Ariana Grande stan. I mean, there's some songs I like here and there. But, again, with how much Ariana there's been in just the past 2 years alone, it's like, are you sure you don't want to take a break or something?
Not that she was going to take a break.
We all thought that. We were all very, very wrong about that. I can honestly say that this track is fine. Not super great, nor super it is just fine. And I'm saying that to keep my expectations on the ground floor for this album, because sometimes I make very wrong takes about some albums. Thank You Next has not aged well in the 8 years it's been out. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, music is kind of a funny thing like that sometime. So, we'll just have to wait and see until July. But either way, that about does it for the new song discussions. And I feel like we should probably just move right on into the big news thing. But first, I do want to go back over something really quick. You know, we tend to talk about whatever shows we've been watching a lot of the times, and one show that we brought up more than a few times is the new HBO medical drama, The Pitt. Especially since it's been a, you know, couple months since season 2 ended, which was pretty interesting. The framing narrative being that the entire season takes place very specifically on 4th of July. So you see all kinds of things going through, you know, you have overeating hot dogs and, you know, people getting really sweaty from being in fursuits, because apparently, Pittsburgh has this whole ass furry convention. But also you see plenty of things like racial profiling through ICE agents, immigrants struggling to make a decent living, but very, very concerned about their finances because the healthcare system is shit. A new employee of the hospital trying to incorporate generative AI into their procedures, only for it to screw up very catastrophically. As well as all kinds of other, you know, issues regarding financing and racism and sexism and all that sort of stuff. And it's very interesting that this is all specifically taking place on a season framed around 4th of July. Because after all, we are coming up on the 250th anniversary of this bizarro-ass dog and pony show we call the country. And seeing all of that in 15 hours of television kind of makes you wonder, what the fuck is there to celebrate this year? You want to celebrate this fuck-ass country? I sure don't.
No. No.
Quote Dr. Martin Luther King from the next episode, you niggas have nothing to celebrate.
That put it much better than I could.
Yeah.
But apparently the powers that be seem to think that more people than actually want to are interested in celebrating the 250th anniversary of this bizarro clown world country. So, the White House, in addition to setting up a fucking UFC fight on the fucking backyard or whatever, has also been trying to organize an event called the Great American State Fair, which is supposed to be, allegedly, taking place June 25th through July 10th at the National Mall in Washington, D.C., with all manner of featured musical performers lined up to, you know, perform things. But as you can imagine, with an administration being led by hashtag when it happens, the artist lineup here is kind of just literally whatever we could get. It's for like example, the big announcement poster had like 9 artists, which included the likes of Martina McBride, Young MC, CNC Music Factory, Vanilla Ice, Milli Vanilli, The Commodores, Morris Day and The Time, Flo Rida, Brett Michaels, and many more. At least that's what the poster says. But immediately after that announcement went out, and of course the roastings and discourse started happening, a grand old comedy of errors has been playing out throughout the ensuing week or so. Pretty much, damn near no one really wants anything to do with this. let's try to go... Sorry, go ahead.
Like, as Tim Mayo said, you don't want to be a part of this shit.
So, we might as well start, like, literally hours after the announcement... one of the acts, Morris Day and The Time, went on Instagram and said, contrary to rumor, Morris Day and The Time will not be performing at the Great American State Fair. This was hours. And of course, the IG caption also said, it's a no for me, which I kind of love how the statement says rumor, even though, like, this was a very official looking poster. So you figured someone would have signed off on this, right? Hang on. You'll notice a theme as we're going through this. Then there was a great deal of, you know, dispute from friggin', I think it was like Milli Vanilli was after that.
Yeah.
Or was it Young
one
MC?
One half of Milli Vanilli, since the other half is, you know, dead.
Yeah, and the whole Milli Vanilli thing in particular was a gigantic, like, clusterfuck of who even is saying, like, this or that. Because, keep in mind, obviously they are like, the most notorious frauds in music history. Or at least some of the most notorious frauds. But a lot of communication with, you know, mainly the backing vocalists. Or, if we were to quote Consequence here, the original real vocalists, that being Jody Rocco, Linda Rocco, Brad Howell, John Davis, and Charles Shaw, said they're not performing at this, though that leaves the actual alleged face of this, which is Rob Morvan, I believe is the name? No, Fab Morvan, I want to say.
Yes, Milli of Milli Vanilli.
Yes, Milli said that they were allegedly still performing at the event, at least when the announcement, when all this clusterfuck was happening. And that was after Young MC stated very explicitly that they were not performing at this thing. Apparently, a running theme here, at least according to Young MC's own statement, was, quote, "The artists were never told about any political involvement with this event." So,
in other words, he bust the move and bust out of there.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of this might sound like, oh, covering their asses, but the thing is, this isn't uncommon. Like, okay, anybody remember when it was allegedly announced that there was going to be a tour between... Well, I say allegedly, the announcement was made, but it was Falling in Reverse and Spirit Box were supposed to be on a tour bill together, but soon as that announcement happened, Courtney LaPlante said, yeah, we're dropping out because we weren't told Falling in Reverse was a part of this. That is, unfortunately, a really dirty bit of business in the industry. Like, sometimes you don't get, a lot of the time you don't get told who your touring, you know, bands are until, like, the day the announcement is made. And then you just get blindsided by, what the fuck do you mean I gotta be on the road with Ronnie Radke? Yeah, good fucking lord. So, that's three acts down the tube so far as we know. And then, Martina McBride drops as well. Very much saying, similar in line with everyone else, that she was also misled. Apparently she was told that this whole thing was gonna be a nonpartisan event. And when she tried to clear the air, she said, quote, "I was presented with an opportunity to perform at a nonpartisan event, but that turned out to be misleading. I asked lots of questions and was assured this was a nonpartisan event meant to celebrate all 50 states. In my mind, I thought this was a great way to celebrate the states and also bring people together in the way that only music can." So, yeah, running motif, shock of all shocks, whoever was organizing this shit is fucking lying. Which, like, damn, you had to light a Martina McBride and Milli Vanilli? You couldn't even aim higher?
But wait, it gets funnier.
Let's see, who was next that bailed on all of this? Oh yeah, the Commodores. So their social media statement said something like, "Our music has always been our voice, and we choose not to publicly affiliate with any single political party. We support the betterment of all Americans." And then there's a God, who else? Who else would be dropping off of this? Fucking Bret Michaels.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You? Oh yeah. I didn't expect that to happen.
I figured he would have been the last holdout. Like, what do you mean Bret Michaels suddenly has standards? We're talking about the same guy who, like, was one of the early poster children for bad music dating reality shows. Do y'all remember that shit? Because I unfortunately remember that shit.
I unfortunately remember that era of VH1, and let's thank God we will never go back to it.
So, he posted a very, very lengthy statement to social media on Friday saying that, let me see if I can find the statement here, or at least, like, some excerpts. Oh, here we go. "I wanted to jump on here real quick, talk about the upcoming Freedom 250. When it was originally presented to my team, it was described as a celebration of our country through music and a chance to honor our veterans, active military, first responders, teachers, and hardworking Americans from all walks of life. As a son of a veteran and coming from a family that has proudly served, this is something I've been honored to support. As many of you know, I spent my career bringing people together through music positivity and good vibes. My shows have never been about politics. They're about giving people a place to come together. Unfortunately, what was presented to us as a celebration of our country has evolved into something much more divisive than what I agreed to be a part of. It's not that it was divisive, it was that you were lied to about what it was from the beginning." I wouldn't exactly call that an evolution.
Okay, I have unfortunately had to look into all this due to social media osmosis. I have since found out... the agency involved with doing this was Universal Attractions Agency. And the booking executive in charge of this, I swear to God this is real, is named Jeff Epstein.
Oh my God!
What? It's like the universe is actively screwing with all of us now.
Oh boy.
And, unfortunately, because I've had to follow all this through social media osmosis, because this is all just a gigantic puff piece event for Captain Dementia, and yet another one of his crash out temper tantrums, he decided to say, "Fine! I'll do it myself! And I'll dance around for everybody for 3 hours!"
Oh, oh my god, this is the stupidest fucking timeline.
But wait, it can get even stupider. So, what's the track record at this point? So we've had Martina McBride drop, Young MC, The Commodores, Bret Michaels, Morris Day and the Time, and whatever the fuck is going on with Milli Vanilli. I think, in fact, today, they finally confirmed the whole ass that they're just not playing this shit.
Yes, yes, okay. They did.
And also, I think you left CNC Music Factory.
We're getting there. We're getting there. I said okay. It was going to get stupider.
Okay.
So, currently, the record stands Vanilla Ice, Flo Rida, and CNC Music Factory. What's going on with them? Well, apparently, Freedom Williams, who owns the trademark to CNC Music Factory and performs under the name, apparently got really fucking defensive and decided to record 7 minutes of himself taking a shit while angrily ranting about bullshit, which...
What?
I mean, it is innovative. At least he's not wearing, you know, sunglasses, sitting in a fucking, you know, Hummer recording a video for Facebook. Yeah. There's even a link to this whole ass... Wait, let me see if I can... Oh, God, he really is on the... At least his nether regions are covered up. Wow, there's a whole ass transcription. I ain't reading all that. Congratulations or sorry or whatever. But, yeah, he's even said golden quotes like, quote, "I will vote for fucking Genghis Khan, Hitler, and motherfucking Ivan the Terrible before I let you tell me what to motherfucking do." He says, fuck Trump, but he's not backing out. You're the same that voted for Obama who never did shit for you. Who actually the only person Gaddafi wanted to give black people $1 billion to open up their own banks in gold? But you know what the government told them? You do that with so-and-so, you can never have that happen. Then he got in office and Obama killed him and said, you don't regret killing Gaddafi. Because you work for the motherfuckers, the Zionists, and the white capital. I swear to God, I am trying to follow the transcription. I am just having a stroke right now. And the final lines, fuck out of here, liberals, Republicans, conservative Democrats, neocons, all of that shit is fake, the black man is God, pussy.
Okay, he's one of those dumb niggas that think everything is corrupt when he sounds... He sounds dumber than he's going against.
So he's saying all this, but still accepting a very partisan gig.
Is the
payout that good?
Yeah. I think he's what people call himself a quote unquote free thinker.
Oh God!
Yeah. That's why he thinks that they're not owned, but they really are.
I'm not owned, I insist, as I shrink and shrivel into a corn cob.
And the thing is, apparently the other guy involved with CNC Music Factory, Robert Clavillas, is trying to be like, I don't want anything to do with this, while simultaneously engaged in a recently launched legal battle over who actually owns the rights to the name CNC Music Factory and their music. So, that is a whole tangential clusterfuck going on. And then Flo Rida hasn't said shit about it as far as we know. But then again, does anybody really pay attention to anything Flo Rida says in 2020 fucking six?
That's a guy who just needs the payouts. Let's be real.
He needs some money. Forget what you're saying. And I'm already checking the guy since 2016, which... Oh yeah, that's right.
I never want to hear that fucking song ever again. I never want to hear that fucking song ever again.
And then that also leaves the matter of Vanilla Ice, who is apparently still on this. Like, he says it's an honor to be involved with this. Like, his Instagram post on the subject, this just in, there's a situation. It's going down. America's turning 250. Come on, man, let's go. I'm super honored to do this concert with everybody. We're going to bring back the 90s. Put your dance shoes on. You'll be happy. Trust me. It's all about enjoying the great times of 250 years, man. George Washington and now, and all the presidents, everybody in between. There is a magical event that's going to happen, very rare, so I'm honored, man. This is going to be epic. And that's it. We don't take anything too serious, man. We're going to bring back the 90s. That's how it works. Go, ninja. Go, ninja. Go. So we're going to turn everybody into a teenager for the night. Proud to be an American and proud and honored for this event. So get in where you fit in, and we'll see you there. Holla, holla. Oh, God.
What the... Okay. Okay, he released the money.
Of course he does. Who honestly cares about Vanilla Ice in the Big 26? Come on.
You know, the more I'm reading into this, the more I'm wondering, did they even really have and more lined up in any capacity?
No.
Because, like, I can't imagine who else you were going to lie to unless you wanted to get, like, fucking trapped to play this shit. Oh, God, Trapped and Aaron Lewis. They absolutely reached out to those guys.
You know what I'm surprised at? Well, maybe or maybe not surprised, but more like, I probably would have got on this. And you know what I'm talking about.
Let's not open that bag of worms unless we absolutely need to.
I would have figured he would have jumped on that, but it's like, I don't think no one gave a shit about what he's gonna do next, especially after the last throw that fumble that got everybody else leaving.
Yeah, this whole thing is just un absolute desastre in every conceivable way. But it has been funny watching this fall apart as spectacularly as it has.
Yep, and in the tradition of this fuck-ass administration, they will not admit defeat, even if a whopping zero people show up for whoever the fuck they can get to bring in here. Also, this is going to be the most pedantic thing I ever say on this show ever. It is not the 250th birthday of America. Declaration of Independence, signed in 1776. The Constitution of the U.S. was ratified in 1787. So it's not the 250th birthday, it is the 239th birthday. Yes, I'm being very pedantic because I learned this shit in elementary school, and I'm tired of these fucking people constantly insulting my intelligence by their very fucking existence!
It's sad when an elementary school civics education demonstrates more of an understanding of your country's history than the people in charge of it.
And the government as well.
Ugh.
Pay attention in your civics and economics class, kids. It will pay off in the end. Or, you know, you'll tear your hair out like I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, so I'm just counting down the days, because it'll be about a month from when this episode drops. And, I don't know, on that day I'm probably just going to play video games, eat a hamburger, watch some porn or something. Wait, I live in Florida.
hang on.
Yeah, I live in Florida. We can't get that anymore. Thanks a lot, DeSantis. You take away one of the few things that makes living in this fuck-ass state bearable.
Yeah, the Senate have to hand it to be two. And might I add, fuck you, Tuberville, and especially fuck you, Ivy.
Plus, I like to think of it as the words of George Carlin. I'm basically going to be doing the same thing this administration will be doing on the 4th. The only difference is, when I get done beating off, I'm going to have a little something to show for it.
My government and, cool. It's just the rest of the, you know, state government that sucks here.
And this is about me, like, don't we celebrate the 4th is, well, earlier, and by that I mean June 19th, as in Juneteenth, as in Black people's version of Independence Day. You don't have to do one on that day. Just watch the Amazing Digital Circus finale, which, you know, after it go to theaters this week. Which oh shit, that's right.
Oh yeah, I'm actually gonna be there on Thursday. Fingers crossed. So that comedy of errors out of the way. That has been the end of the news. That, of course, leaves one more thing to touch on here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 5th, 2026. Starting at the top, we have the brand new studio album from Converge, their second of the year with Hum of Hurt. From the band August Burns Red, we have Seasons of Surrender. We have a brand new Evanescence album, Sanctuary. For the band of Montreal, we have their new album, Aethermead. If you're into Modest Mouse still, we have their new album, An Eraser and a Maze. We have an album called Gray and Green, which is a collaboration between Les Green and voice actress Gray Delisle. Huh.
Hey.
Interesting. Anyway, next up, oh god, right, there's that new Lizzo album, bitch. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
No.
Speaking of, America in 2026, we have a new Vince Staples album, Crybaby. And last, but certainly also least, we have a new album from, I never learned how to say this name, Niall. Horon, uh-huh. With a dinner party. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, you know where to find him. His stuff is linked in the description. I mean, not linked. You could just read it there. Mark, what about you?
Of course, Blue Sky Imagine Media. And on my site, I'm on HyperOne at HyperOne.wordpress.com. That's all I got.
And as for me, you can find me on a Blue Sky Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@superresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. And the actual website itself, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. I'm actually looking to have something up on there in the next week or so. What'll it be? All I'll say is, if you don't read it, it's really going to make my crown curl. And be sure to find the link to our Discord server as well, so you can chat about all sorts of fun and amusing things. Maybe the state of play. Maybe dirty sodas. Maybe, I don't know, weird movies. Eh, it's fun. Yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back hopefully next week with more of the usual weekly business and, ideally, the album roundup for the month of May 2026, you know, so we can get a little bit back more into the groove of things. So, thank you for listening, and until next time, god damn it, Blue Sky, can your moderation shit not suck?
Asking for a miracle.
Speaking of NSFW...